Let's go to Graham Tuckett now. Friday's movie day, and Graham has a couple of great ones lined up for the long weekend. Hi, Graham.
Hey, Jesse. How are you? How's the sound?
Good. Sounding good, Graham. Okay. Sounding really good.
I went back to an old 19th century handset, and it's working just great. Landline.
Yeah, well done. You can stay on for the whole show with me if you like.
Good to hear.
What have you been back to the movies yet, by the way?
I think we talked about that last week, didn't we? The distributors really hate it when you say this, but I had a couple of screeners that arrived during lockdown, which I've been lucky enough to view. But both of the films I'm going to talk about today are available to watch at the movies, one as of yesterday, and the other opens on the big screen, I believe, next week.
Right, and it's my understanding that it's sort of more the kind of the small independent cinemas that are open at the moment, and the big ones might still be a few weeks away.
That's how it seems, like your smaller sort of, I mean, almost like your mum and dad cinemas. Mm. In Wellington specifically, I know the Lighthouse and the Penthouse are back open. I believe the Empire in Island Bay they're doing the food and drink downstairs, and I think they're getting ready to start showing movies again. And likewise, the Roxy out in Miramar are getting very, very close to opening the doors again, if they haven't already.
Do you have a favourite movie theatre in New Zealand?
In New Zealand? Mm. Oh, man, I can't name any of my locals because I'm good friends with all of them, and I can't. It'd be like picking a favourite child. But I will say, it may not still exist, but about 10 years ago, I went and saw The Da Vinci Code in a cinema in Wanaka.
And they brought out the chocolate chip cookies at halftime.
Brought out the chocolate chip cookies at halftime. Lovely Scottish man got up and introduced the movie. I gave a 4-star review to The Da Vinci Code, probably the only one that film received in the world.
Because you were so happy when you were watching it. I know,
so
I'm like that with restaurants too.
I was sitting on, I think it was a removed back seat from an old Morris Minor was my couch for the night. And it was just such a superb entertainment. So shout out to the Wanaka Cinema. I hope they are still functioning as they did.
Someone let us know if you can. 2101 is the text number. Yeah. Tell us what you've been to see. Oh, sorry.
For all the beautiful stuff in, you know, Central Otago and Queenstown and Wanaka, all the things that people talk about, you fly in from around the world to see, and we'll be able to do again in a few months, hopefully. The cinema in Wanaka never gets a mention outside of the locals, and it is a sight to behold. Go and see a film there. You will like it, whatever the film is.
What have you seen?
Right, let's talk about Monos. Monos is, this is the film that I think opened up on some big screens yesterday. You'll certainly be able to find it, Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Dunedin. It is a Colombian-Ecuadorian co-production from a director called Alejandro Landes, who's best known for documentaries and journalism. This is his first work of sort of actual fiction, but it is very, very much inspired by 1,000 true stories from the Colombian Civil War, I guess we'd call it, the sort of the ongoing multifaceted conflicts in Colombia that have rocked for decades now. Monos is about a sort of platoon of a dozen or so teenage and child soldiers or guerrillas. We sort of glean that they're being trained by the FARC, by FARC, which is this Colombian guerrilla resistance organization. They are sort of up in the highlands, like not right up in the Andes, but definitely up in the sort of the lowlands of the Andes, right up in the mist and the snow and the rain, training for a mission which is never fully explained. But they are looking after a North American woman who is a hostage. And obviously she's being held to what they hope is going to be a great deal of ransom one day. And it is these kids' job to keep this woman alive and to stop her from escaping. And she escapes. So then the platoon of child soldiers start to turn on each other, and they become very factionalized of who is going to sell who out to their commanders, what retribution will the commanders take on them for letting this woman escape, how are they going to get her back. The film becomes very much informed by William Golding's Lord of the Flies. It's very much a story of sort of children and teenagers in great peril, living in isolation, turning on each other. There's even a couple of shots which explicitly say this is some sort of a homage to Lord of the Flies. Oh. But it's a...
Oh.
Hello?
Yeah, you're sounding okay. You just stopped talking.
Oh, sorry, I just... I'm not picking you up at this end. Me and you are cursed on the telephone lately.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
the better. The sooner we get back into the studio, the better.
Or
the
Mercury must be in retrograde, as one of my friends would have said.
Oh, well said, and I am a Gemini. It was my birthday just the other day, so that's very much the planet of Mercury.
There's your problem, yeah.
There's the problem right there. Without doubt, blame astrology. So that's Monos. It's a drama of the Colombian Civil War set amongst child soldiers. It's a very intelligent film. It's got a lovely open-ended, slight ambiguity to the end of it, which anyone who's read Lord of the Flies or seen any of the couple of quite good film adaptations will resonate with. The one thing I will say, to see this on a big screen, it is beautifully shot. There's a lot of naturally occurring the wind and the mist and the fog and the rain up in the highlands. And later when the kids descend into a river valley with the jungles, what I can only assume is mostly natural lighting and natural shade. The cinematographer who revels in the name Jasper Wolf, his camera just eats it up. As a visual construct and as a beautiful soundscape, Monos is a hell of a film. It's picked up awards.
Nice one to watch when there's no international travel available, huh?
Very much. And also with this year's film festival being mostly relegated to the small screen. I mean, this is a very much a festival quality film. It's a sort of film, I think it may even have blown through town during last year's International Film Festival, but I was out of the country for most of that, but I think that's the case. Anyway, that's Monos. It's a Colombian-Ecuadorian co-production. The only sort of household name actor in the West, and it would be Julianne Nicholson, who's pretty well known from shows like Law and Order and Boardwalk Empire. She plays the American woman engineer hostage and does extremely well at it too.
What does the title Monos refer to?
Monos, that's a great question. It is slang for child in some of the languages that are featured in the film. But it also, I'm doing this purely from memory because I looked this up myself a few weeks ago, it also applies specifically to groups of individuals. So it has a kind of double resonance to it.
Great. Okay, tell us about The Last Full Measure then.
Okay, The Last Full Measure came out last year in America, directed by Todd Robinson, who had fought for something like a dozen years to get this film made. It's been in and out of development hell for a decade. It was attached to Clint Eastwood to direct and possibly star in at one point. The Last Full Measure is a retelling of a true story. It was one particularly bloody battle in Vietnam in 1966, during which an American platoon, army platoon, got themselves very, very nastily and thoroughly ambushed and surrounded by Viet Cong troops. They were being shot to bits on the ground when an Air Force helicopter, what's called a para-rescue Air Force officer, winched down into the midst of the firefight and absolutely covered himself in glory for that day and the next as he got every single person that he possibly could to safety. Saved other lives literally on the ground, and when all seemed completely lost, when the outpost was about to be overrun, he picked up a gun himself and charged into the fray. And he did not survive the day, but he was posthumously awarded the Air Force Cross, which is sort of the highest individual Air Force honor. But he was put up for the Congressional Medal of Honor, which is, I guess you'd call that the U.S. equivalent of the Victoria Cross. It's the highest military honor that the American military could give. But because maybe of a little interdepartmental quibbling, the fact that he was an Air Force officer who had inserted himself into an army fight, somehow the paperwork became a bit too troublesome for people, and the Congressional Medal of Honor was not given to him. And some people working in the American government, and of course his ex, not so much his platoon buddies, but the platoon, the survivors of the platoon that he assisted on the ground, petitioned basically their congressmen and politicians and anyone they could corral for the next 32 years to get that decision overturned and to get this man, William H. Pitzenbarger, known to all and sundry as Pitts, to get him the Congressional Medal of Honor that they were convinced he deserved. So The Last Full Measure, the movie, is chops back and forth between the 1990s, when the campaign to get him his medal was reaching its finale, and back to those horrible days in April 1966 when the battle was taking part. It's a pretty successful wartime drama. I really like the fact that in no way did it glorify the fighting. It doesn't even glorify the sort of heroism on the ground. This is not, you'd never mistake this in any way for being a pro-war film or a film that glorifies war or combat in any way.
Yeah.
It shows it in what appears to me a very honest fashion, but it doesn't valorize it. It saves the string section for later, you know? The other thing that distinguishes the film is the incredible cast. Christopher Plummer, who's been treading the boards in Hollywood for something like six decades now, ever since he played Captain Von Trapp in The Sound of Music. William Hurt, who probably needs no introduction. Ed Harris, another absolute legend of American acting. Samuel L. Jackson. And Peter Fonda in his last ever on-screen role.
Wow.
He died before the film was released. And I was musing today on the lovely irony of Peter Fonda having first become famous playing the character Captain America in Easy Rider, like the first of the great, probably anti-Vietnam War films and the beginning of what we call the American New Age, which was very much in response to the Nixon era and the Vietnam era. And you know, Peter Fonda was the absolute designer of that early film movement. Now, in his final ever film role, he plays a film in which characters are looking back, fighting to get recognition for American servicemen. I just thought, there's not so much an irony in that, and it doesn't undo any of Fonda's legacy at all. It just adds a real rich, it adds some rich layers to the archaeology of the man, of how what his career took him through in, six decades. That's the last full measure. It's an intelligent, quiet film. It has a great emotional kick towards the end of it, but I like the fact that it's a drama about a war. It's not a wartime drama. It's a subtle distinction, but I think even people who don't like war movies, and I completely understand that, I'm not a great fan of them myself, will still resonate to the drama and the quiet sort of drama of relationships that The Last Full Measure is mostly concerned with. It's a very, very strong little film. I liked it.
Perfect, Graham. Thank you for the review. Now let's review some text messages and emails that have come in about these cinemas. So Jeff Leland, former lecturer in screen, I think film and TV at Waikato University, says it's great to hear you lauding Cinema Paradiso in Wanaka. He wants to point out
that's
there are actually two great independent cinemas down there, Cinema Paradiso and also Ruby's.
Oh, fantastic.
A couple of people have pointed out that the Scottish man who would have spoken before the movie at Wanaka was he's actually the Queenstown Lakes deputy mayor, Callum, and he's the owner of Cinema Paradiso. He has since shifted and renovated it, but the Morris Minor and the Cookies are still going.
I was there in 2008, and I remember it vividly to this day, but shout out to Callum, you run a great business.
And a few other movie theatres getting mentions from our listeners. The movie theatre in Geraldine, an ancient building, an original cinema. They've taken out some rows and put old couches and blankets in. Apparently fantastic.
Good.
The Gecko Cinema in Motueka. You done that one before?
I have been to the Gecko in Motueka, and it's a fantastic little joint, yes.
Fabulous Dorothy Brown's Cinema in Arrowtown, open now and showing some fabulous films and cheese and wine at intermission.
I've been there as well. And again, great little cinema.
Wouldn't that be a cool road trip? What about getting in a car with a friend and doing the independent cinemas of New Zealand and going to a different movie in a different town each night?
I could see a very, if not a blog, then possibly a coffee table book of photography coming out of that.
Yeah,
well done. A little road trip for somebody.
Okay, it's all yours, Graham, if you wanted that idea. Nice to chat to you. Really appreciate your time, as always.
You too, Jesse. Thank you.